Good morning, God's peace to you all. Welcome you here on this sixth Sunday of Easter. Also, a happy and blessed Mother's Day to the mothers here. Also to those that have joined us on Facebook. We're having a little hard time with our phone patch today, but we'll carry on. We're going to open with 365.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name we come on this new Lord's Day. We come with thankful hearts to gather together to sing your praise, that praise that will be echoed through, has been and will be echoed through all eternity for the glorious work of your Son, Jesus Christ, on that center cross of Calvary. And may that praise always be in our lips. May it always be in our hearts, the thankfulness when we see that while we were yet sinners, that Christ would come for us, and that we could share this message to a world that is lost and dying. That we would share it not only verbally, but also in our lives. We know that the works that we do are not for our salvation, but they are for the good of our neighbor, and that we would be shown as a peculiar people, that we would be able to evangelize even in that, in our lives, in our conversation, as the Bible says, that you would strengthen us, that your light would shine forth, that it would not be from this fallen creatures of clay, that we know that we are made from dust and that dust will return, but that our souls are eternal and that we can rest in the finished work of Jesus. Father, we also think of this day that our nation has set aside, this Mother's Day, this day that we can honor the mothers in our lives, those that have birthed us, those that have birthed our children, but also those that are spiritual mothers to us, those that continue to point us to you. We thank you for all of these, that these godly mothers would do this most precious work here, such an important work of raising the next generation, not just to be good people in this world, but to acknowledge your goodness, to point always to your goodness. We think of even those that have passed on, we remember on this Mother's Day, those mothers that are sleeping, that are resting in Jesus. How we miss them, but oh, how precious it is that they have gained the victory in Christ. Be with the brother as he comes this morning. May this word work in his heart, come forth with power to us, the listener, and prepare our hearts as well, Father. We know that that is your work, and we pray that you would do so to all who hear the word wherever that is spoken this morning. May that word be preached and rightly divided. Now we offer the prayer that your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Continue with 655, like as a mother comforteth. Thank you. Psalm for today, Psalm 66, found on page 452 in the Pew Bible. We're going to read beginning at verse 8 through the end of the chapter. We'll read in Jesus' name. O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast provided us, hast proved us, thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net, thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered, my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats. Come in here, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Amen. We're going to continue with 334, Jesus Savior, Pilot Me.
May the love of God the Father and the mercy and grace of Christ Jesus our Lord, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. On Mother's Day, it's always one of the easier days to recognize the gift and the fullness of God's blessing. Jesus said that the enemy comes but to kill, murder, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and may have it more abundantly. And so this life that we have, certainly our physical life here in this earth, is due to our mother and our father, mostly to our mother. And certainly the Lord is speaking of a broader life, a spiritual life that will last forever. And yet today we focus on this beautiful concept of mothers and Mother's Day. Though it's not in the scripture specifically as a day to observe, yet the Christian church, Christians have taken it upon themselves to designate these kind of days, like, for example, Thanksgiving. That's not in the scripture either, but that's a great day to observe. It reminds us of how Peter said that the Lord has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so often we go certainly to the big issues of faith, the forgiveness of sins, and the righteousness that we have by faith is the big issue in the scripture. But here and now in this life, what much of the Bible is about is the blessings that we have here and now in this life. And it's largely through mothers today. I always think it's a great example as the last phrase of that hymn, or the one about mothers, was it shows the grace of God. For example, if we take all of our mothers, take your mother, and start evaluating her, how great was she at all the different issues, running a household. How was she managing money? And rate her on that. How was she at the other issues of life? Perhaps even the things we enjoy every day, cooking. Or how is she with her dad, her husband? You'd have to ask her husband about that. And we'd rate all those things, and we possibly could come out with the best mom. But who cares about that? When it really comes down to it, when we think about our mother, we didn't care about that. Certainly they were somewhere on the ranking on how good they were at these various things, but it just didn't matter. And isn't that a picture, a little picture of God's grace to us? We honored her because we loved her. And that love is what covers so much. And that's what's to be remembered. All the different things about your dear mother, the first thing and the main thing you'll remember is that she loved you. And this love is certainly the big picture of love is the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, as our brother prayed. But the next closest picture is our mother. She bore us. She carried us for 9 months. And we nursed at her breast for a long period of time. We are nurtured in those hymns and songs she sang for us, even while we are in her womb. And she cared for us in such a precious way. And that is where we learned the very basic elements of life, principles of life. Any psychologist will say that children learn and their personality is developed very early in life. It's not like when they get to be teenagers or get out on their own. Some of the statistics we hear on that, it's hard to believe that in the first couple years of life. And who has the most influence on the child in the first couple years? I was out at work, and I come home, and hopefully I was in some kind of a mood to relate to the kids, but the mother was there right from the very waking up time. And so God bless all the mothers, and we're going to speak of one of them today, Lord willing, from the Old Testament. And her name is Jochebed. So how many of you right away can raise your hand? And I can't either. I confess I was amongst you 2 days ago. But her story is all over in the Bible, and you know her story well, and the kids and the Sunday school kids know it. They could repeat this story, give details of this story. But her name was hidden. And so we'll read this in Exodus chapter 1. And it's going to be a little bit of reading, so it's going to take a while. But the Bible has this way of repeating many of the things that are said in one book, and they're repeated in the next. So we'll begin in the Exodus chapter 1. In the name of Jesus. Now these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt. Every man and his household came with Jacob: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher. And all the souls that came out of the lines of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And so all of you know the story of Joseph, how he was sold into Egypt. So Joseph is already died. And Joseph died, and all his brethren and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. And the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was their rigor. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives of them, of which the name of the one was Shipra, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, When ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called all the midwives and said unto them, Why have you done this thing and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, Every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. So far we haven't even gotten to Jochebed. But it's in the next chapter. Number 2, and there went a man of the house of Levi and took a wife, a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. When she saw him to be a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags of the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the child wept. And she had compassion on him and said, This is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said the sister to Pharaoh's daughter, Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, Go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she called his name Moses. And she said, Because I drew him out of the water. Amen. We still haven't gotten to her name. And there's a little reason for that. And because if you think of Isaac, Abraham and Isaac, everybody knows Isaac's mother was Sarah. We know Samuel. Samuel's mother was Hannah. And we can go down the list of many of these patriarchs, Joseph, Rachel. All the different mothers were so integral a part of this relationship here. And it's quite interesting that that even in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, where Jesus's saints are recorded, and it talks of Moses, and it doesn't say anything about Moses' mother. And then furthermore, then it goes into the book of Acts. We studied this in our study, in Bible study. Stephen was called before the council, and he gave this long sermon. It's in the 7th chapter of Acts. It's really just a recounting, much of like what I read, of the history of the Hebrews. And it relates the part about Moses being hid by his mother. It doesn't give her name. This perhaps could be for a discussion sometimes else, but it says that Moses' father was Amram, and Amram married his father's sister. That's his aunt. So Moses had not received the law yet, but the law that he was to receive prohibited that. That was a relationship of marriage that was not to be entered into. So I believe that's the reason Jochebed is not a household word amongst us, as Sarah, Rachel, and Hannah are household words. And I haven't really heard of anybody today naming a daughter Jochebed. But what a life she had. The text kind of picks up after Joseph has died and a new king came into Egypt, and they were fearful that the numbers of the Hebrew people would exceed their own, and that if they ever went to war, these Hebrews would join the other side, no doubt, so that they would be liberated. So they had to think up a plan. So the plan was that to get to the midwives, those who were in charge of helping the Hebrew women deliver the children. And it was that they were to destroy the male children and to leave the females alive. Here we enter into this whole subject of symbolism in the scripture, and we're not making some great leap into some allegorical thing, some conspiratorial theory about certain things. This is pretty sound in the scripture. The picture of Egypt is the world, and what the effects that the world has on bondage. That's where the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt. And that's what the world leads to. The world's message is that it will lead to freedom. You don't have to listen to your parents, and you don't have to listen to this and that. Just get out there and live any way you want, and that's where your freedom is going to be. And they don't realize that that's the land of bondage. You're going back to Egypt. And that's where the Hebrews were in this land. And so Pharaoh, the king, thought of a way to keep the numbers down. So there was to get rid of the male children. And lest we think that was just a historical story, that's the picture of the world today. Is it's not to kill the men physically, but it's to emasculate them, to emasculate society, take the manliness, the masculine character out of society, and make men to be less than what they were intended to be. All you have to do is watch television for a while, and the vast percentage of men that are represented in advertisements and programs are what we'd call dorks. They're fools. And that's the picture that's everywhere. And we say, oh, that's just funny. We understand what they're saying. But does everybody understand that? Do innocent minds who watch that understand the psychology behind that? Because that's a product of the political left. And that is what is taking place in America. It's to emasculate men and to make women objectified. Make them objects rather than people. Objects that can be used for men's pleasure. That's what largely is the message that we see. And that's coming from Egypt, the world that is represented here. It is just opposite of the world that we know what Jesus said about giving life and in abundance. This life that Christ Jesus has is based on the very premise that a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And the offspring then are the children are in this blessed relationship where there is actually a mother and a father in the home. In many cases, that's all thrown out the window because of our rethinking of society. And yet, God's plan is the best plan, and thank goodness there's women like Jochebed. Jochebed heard the law of the king of Egypt. You are to get rid of those. And she had this child, Moses. And the very first thing, no doubt, that went through her mind, it says that he was a goodly child. In other words, that was a rigorous one. The midwives had thumbed their nose at these laws. And that's what Christians do, because this is a law that's against God. The disciples in the book of Acts frequently went against the civil government. The civil government and even the religious leader says, you're not to preach in that name anymore. The disciples said, well, it's up to you who we should listen, to you or to God. This man just was healed. He's able to walk. It's up to you. You tell us. It's almost like a little bit of humor there. It was obvious you're going to listen to God. He was the one who raised this man from being a beggar. And yet the religious leaders tried to squelch that message. But the disciples didn't listen to that. And neither did the midwives here. And it gives the name of these two midwives. Isn't that interesting? It doesn't even give the name of this mother. But it gives the name of these two midwives. And they then were called into the office, so to speak. And what's this I hear about? There's still plenty of baby boys being born. And so they say, well, the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. They deliver those babies before we even get there. So they had this good way to answer. And you know mighty well that wasn't the truth, but that's what they answered. Some women I know take a long time, and you can't make a generalization that the Hebrew women all had their babies before the midwives got there. That's preposterous to say that. I don't know too much about giving birth, but I know that much. We've had a few children. I had plenty of time to get home from work most of the time when these things were happening. But thank God there's people like the midwives, Shipra and Pua. They thumb their nose at some of these laws, and Jochebed as well. And the symbolism here just gets so rich. And this ark, the word that is in Hebrew, I wish I knew more about Hebrew, but there's a interesting thing for anybody, any young person who wants to go into some area of study languages and study words. According to what I've read, is that this basket that Jochebed put her baby Moses in was not a word that would be like a bread basket or a picnic basket. It's used very seldom in the Bible. And it's used one other time. It's used to describe Noah's ark. And isn't it interesting that this basket, she pitched it. In other words, sealed the outside of the basket with pitch to keep the water. What did Noah do to the inside of the ark and the outside? It said he sealed it with pitch. So this picture of this little child, Moses, being put into the water. Where did the ark go? Noah's ark into the water. And it saved the lives of Noah and his family and all the animals. And so did this basket that it's called here, went into the river, and Pharaoh's daughter went down to the river to bathe. Every Sunday school student can tell the story better than I can. And she was bathing down there, and one of her maids then saw that there's a basket, and go get it. They looked in there, and there's a child, and the babe wept. And so they asked, well, shall we go get a nurse for that child? And she says, go. And who did they go to? They went to Jochebed. Because she was a mother, and she nursed that child and cared for that child. And that child then was taken into Pharaoh's daughter's house. And the text further on says, he became mighty in word and in deed. So this is all God's plan to save this nation of his people. Moses in this basket grew up to be the one who led the people across the Red Sea and through the wilderness for 40 years, liberated them from this land of bondage. And such an integral part of this story is Jochebed. Jochebed who did not listen to the laws that this king of Egypt, this is the king of this world. And you mothers, I'm sure what you did to your children, you didn't listen to the message of the king of this world. When you raised your children, you spoke to them, and many of us continue to speak to them, concerning the ways of life that leads to life eternal, not just to this life that we have here in this life. And yet it is for the blessing of us in time and eternity. It's the blessing that you would have here in this life, that you would be able to have this freedom. And this freedom is not just to do whatever you want to do. It's the freedom to live beyond your own self-interest and to be obedient to God. That's what the freedom is. And that is what leads to your contentment, your peace, and your joy in this life. It's this full, abundant life that the Lord has for you in following the steps of Jesus. The steps of Jesus that had many a trial. Many are the trials of the afflicted, and yet the Lord frees us from all of them. I just think, especially on this Mother's Day, how we so find in our own mothers. So my mother has been to heaven for over 2 decades now. Yet the messages and what she taught, specific things I do not know, remember that much. But I do remember that she loved me. And that's the thing that will go on forever. Paul, in his epistle, says that faith, hope, and love, there's 3 things that remain. But the greatest of these is love. And faith ranks way up there. No one is going to say that faith is not important. Hope ranks way up there. But love is the greatest. And this is the love that we certainly experience from the Father. But to make this real in this life, He's given us mothers and dads. Next month we'll be able to hear about our dads. But isn't it something how it's our father, it's our mothers. In Guatemala, we were invited to one day to a great big celebration for Mother's Day. And it was big. How many? There were over 500 there? Maybe over it was a big event. And they had a program. It was at a public school. And it was a very nice program, singing and recitations and all this. And all to honor mothers. All the mothers were there. So then I asked them, well, what do you do for Father's Day? Don't do much. It's a sad situation. Because the dads don't step up. And this is where the godly way is, that the dads do step up. Dads step up in their homes. They're the leaders of their homes. They're not tyrants in the home. They lead because of the office they have as dad. They don't see any reason to lord it over their wives. They do it many times with a lot of humility. In the church, men step up and are leaders in the church. They don't lord it over anybody else, the children included. But it's the order that God has chosen. And may that order be continued in your homes, and may you be able to celebrate this day. And let's remember Jochebed. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's continue with number 119. Jesus paid it all. Father, we thank you for this great love that you have for all mankind that's personified most closely in our mothers. And we ask that this whole spirit of love that we have one for another would prevail in our hearts and in our homes. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Bible study will be at Tom and Lori's home on Wednesday at 7 p.m. And then next Sunday there'll be Bible study at 10:15 and morning worship at 11. We'll close with 6:54, during which an offering will be taken.
Thank you.